KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
Mostly clear skies and a chilly 38 degrees here this morning. Expecting sunny skies with a high near 76 today in breezy conditions. Good morning, I'm Chris Parks with KJAN News. In the latest state and local news, the insider convicted of tampering with lottery equipment to try to win a $16 million hot lotto jackpot 5 years ago is now accused of helping his brother and his best friend win jackpots from other state lotteries. Iowa Lottery CEO Terry Rich.
It truly was a breach of trust, and all roads seemed to lead to Eddie Tipton.
Tipton was the information security director for the Multi-State Lottery Association. A jury convicted Tipton of fraud in July, and he was sentenced to 10 years in prison last month. Jim Saunders of the Iowa Division of Criminal Investigation says after that conviction, authorities got a tip that Tipton had rigged drawings in other state lotteries.
This is now a nationwide investigation that seeks to identify instances where individuals may have taken advantage of personal relationships to perpetrate fraud against a lottery game.
Authorities are asking the public to come forward if they know of instances where someone who did not buy the winning ticket has been asked to claim a lottery prize in another state. According to court documents, Tipton has already accused of rigging a Colorado lotto drawing on November of 2005. Investigators say Eddie Tipton's brother, Tommy Tipton, asked a friend to claim a payout of more than $500,000 from the Colorado lottery. The former lottery security man is also accused of rigging a December 2007 Megabucks lotto drawing in Wisconsin that was claimed by a company owned by Eddie Tipton's best friend. That best friend is facing charges in the 2005 case here in Iowa that sparked the investigation. Tipton was never able to claim the Iowa Lottery's hot lotto prize, as state law requires the ticket purchaser to reveal themselves to lottery officials who have video of ticket purchases to confirm the player's identity. 17 state lotteries use the computer technology Tipton helped create and control at the Multi-State Lottery Association. The Iowa Lottery's CEO says multiple additional layers of security have been added as a result of this case.
It's appalling to know that the person at the center of this case once worked at a vendor organization within the lottery industry. This is a breach of trust against lotteries, our players, our games, and the billions of dollars at stake for the worthy causes that lotteries benefit.
Tipton had been released pending the appeal of his September fraud conviction. Tipton returned to Iowa from Texas on Friday. He was booked into the Polk County Jail and then released on a $25,000 bond. Tipton's best friend, who is from Texas, has yet to go on trial on charges related to that hot lotto case. The four national health insurance companies selected to manage Iowa's $4.2 billion Medicaid program have signed contracts with the state to begin work. The Iowa Department of Human Services said Friday that contracts have been signed with Amerigroup, AmeriHealth Caritas, United Healthcare, and WellCare Health Plans. The companies were selected this summer among 10 bidders after state officials announced this year that Iowa's Medicaid program would switch to a private system. The selected companies are expected to take over management on January 1. The decision has been criticized by some health care advocates and lawmakers who say the plan to implement the new system is moving too quickly. Branstad's office has said the shift will help the state find savings while improving care. An Iowa company that provides businesses with information for marketing purposes has agreed to pay $2,500 to settle allegations that help facilitate consumer fraud through the mail. Attorney General Tom Miller's office said Friday that TM1 LLC has agreed to review clients' marketing plans and refuse service if the work appears to involve consumer fraud. TM1 provides companies with lists of names and contact information for marketing campaigns. Miller says an investigator with his office's Consumer Protection Office recorded an example of a TM1 employee willing to help in a fraudulent scheme through mailings. TM1, which was acquired in October by Marlowe Companies Incorporated of Iowa City, denied wrongdoing as part of the settlement. It agreed to pay $2,500. The Cass County Sheriff's Office on Friday identified the victim of a house fire that took place earlier that morning. Authorities say 67-year-old Linda M. Barber of Anita died during the incident at 74566 Boone Road. The fire was reported around 12:43 a.m. Friday. Anita Fire Chief Josh Peach told KJAN News what they found upon arrival.
There was heavy smoke coming shortly after we got on. It did. Flames started showing at that point. Obviously, we attacked. Got it put out semi-quick.
The house owned by Brad Barber was occupied by Larry and Linda Barber. Peach says Linda's 73-year-old husband, Larry, was transported to the Cass County Memorial Hospital.
Yes, we did have one person that was taken to the hospital with smoke inhalation issues. Not serious condition, just want to check him out. He was having some difficulty breathing.
State fire investor John Teicher said Linda Barber was found on the second floor. Her body was transported to the state medical examiner's office in Ankeny for autopsy. Teicher says the cause of the blaze appears to be accidental.
At this point, and of course we're early in the investigation, but we do feel as though it's accidental in nature. And at this point, we're looking at some wiring, some malfunctions with some wiring that was in the wall, second floor bedroom.
Anita Fire was on the scene till around 5:45 a.m., conducting a mop-up and other related activities. A Council Bluffs educator and cheerleader coach has been ordered to stand trial in the September traffic death of a bicyclist. The Daily Nonpareil reports that an attorney for 28-year-old Stephanie Keneally said Thursday she will plead not guilty to a charge of leaving the scene of a fatal crash. The attorney, Thomas Anderson of Omaha, Nebraska, says he'll enter her written plea around Keneally's November 2nd arraignment date. Trial has been set for December 15th. Authorities say 54-year-old David Ryder was riding his bike in the same direction as Keneally's SUV when she hit the bicyclist during a heavy downpour. Ryder, who was not wearing a helmet, was declared dead at the scene. Authorities say Keneally left the scene and returned nearly an hour later. Iowa Senator Joni Ernst, a Republican from Red Oak, is the lead sponsor on a bill that would ease some of the restrictions on telemedicine used to help out veterans.
Telehealth is one of the VA's major transformational initiatives to achieve patient-centered, affordable, and convenient health care for our veterans. My legislation would build on these improvements for disabled or rural veterans by expanding telehealth services provided by the Department of Veterans Affairs.
She says the Vets Act would allow qualified health professionals to operate across state lines and conduct telehealth services, including mental health care treatment for veterans.
Under current law, the VA may only waive the state license requirement for telehealth services if both the patient and physician are located in a federally owned facility. Additionally, the VA may only perform at-home telehealth care when the patient and physician are located in the same state.
She says it's particularly important for veterans in rural areas.
My legislation works to overcome rural health care challenges and provide easier access to health services for our disabled veterans so they may live more independent lives in their own homes and local communities.
Iowa is a rural state, but Ernst is not sure how many veterans might need the service here. The Veterans Administration health system had a variety of issues, and Ernst says there's still a lot to be done to solve them. Ernst hopes this bill will pass and help with some of the issues with getting the proper care in a timely manner.
I think we are blessed in the Midwest to have some great care. However, across the nation, if you look at the situation with the VAs, we still are experiencing delays in treatment for our veterans. So we still have a number of issues that need to be resolved. I am committed to continuing that fight for our veterans.
Ernst says the bill has bipartisan support, along with lead co-sponsor Democrat Senator Mazie Hirono of Hawaii. Ernst says telehealth reduced the number of days in a hospital care or hospital for care by 54% and saves veterans on average $2,000 each year. Taking a look now here at your funeral announcements this morning. Edwin Jean Eugene Monson, age 75 of Harlan, died Wednesday at Elmcrest Assisted Living in Harlan. Funeral services for Jean Monson will be held today at 10:30 a.m. at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Irwin. Polly Jones Funeral Home Harlan has arrangements. Mark D. Fredrickson, age 60, of Ashland, Nebraska, and formerly of Elkhorn, died October 2nd at Bergen Mercy Hospital in Omaha. Celebration of Life Memorial Graveside Services for Mark Fredrickson will be held today at 11 a.m. in the Elkhorn Lutheran Cemetery. Kessler Funeral Home Audubon has arrangements. Richard Nicholas Stein, age 89, of Omaha, died October 2nd. A mass of Christian burial for Richard Stein will be held today at 11 a.m. at St. Mary Our Lady of Fatima Church in Portsmouth. Polly Jones Funeral Home Harlan has arrangements. Gerald Jerry Nordell Hoyleen, age 55, of Key Largo, Florida, and formerly of McGregor, died September 30th. A private family graveside service for Jerry Hoyleen will be held today at 1 p.m. in Boscobel, Wisconsin. Donella Ross, age 87, of Atlantic, died September 20th at the Heritage House in Atlantic. A memorial visitation for Donella Ross will be held today from 1 to 3 p.m. at the Heritage House. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home Atlantic is handling arrangements. Walter L. Leroy Bice, age 82, of Griswold, died Thursday at Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. Funeral services for Leroy Bice will be held Sunday at 2:30 p.m. at the Lewis Congregational Methodist Church. Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has arrangements. Martha Waters, age 93, of Atlantic, died Tuesday at the Heritage House in Atlantic. Funeral services for Martha Waters will be held on Monday at 10:30 a.m. at the First United Methodist Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home Atlantic has arrangements. Eleanor Olson, age 80, of Elkhorn, died Monday at the Salem Lutheran Home in Elkhorn. Funeral services for Eleanor Olson will be held on Monday at 10:30 a.m. at the Elkhorn Lutheran Church. Odie Funeral Home in Kimbleton is in charge of the arrangements. Betty A. Williams, age 86, of Harlan, died on Wednesday in Omaha. Funeral services for Betty Williams will be held on Monday at 10:30 a.m. at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Irwin. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. And Dale E. Peterson, age 79, of Elkhorn, died Thursday at the Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. Funeral services for Dale Peterson will be held on Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. at the Elkhorn Lutheran Church in Elkhorn. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has the arrangements. That's a look at your latest news here this morning on KJAN. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.